like it's never done. Night falls, smoke on the water, darkness closes in. Cold white hell in the deep will drown you for your sins.
And welcome back to another episode of Hanging with Heavy right here on the brand new TrendingTopicsNetwork.com, where you can check out all the great shows such as Shut the Fuck Up, TTN at the Movies, Legends on Siren FM, Eurovision Showcase, What's on Fight, CFL Easy Picks, Lou Chat, The Tuts Experience, European Uppercut, All Beer Inside, and my other show, Wrestling Cheers, which you can find on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, and Podbean, wrestlingcheers.podbean.com. And please rate, review, and subscribe to the show, Wrestling Cheers. My other show, like I had already stated, find that on all of your social media, facebook.com/wrestlingcheers, twitter.com/wrestlingcheers, instagram.com/wrestlingcheers, and email wrestlingcheers@gmail.com. And this show, which I didn't throw this out on the last episode, so my apologies, you can find myself at heavyset330. You can find this show at Hanging with Heavy, and there's no email for the show. And I'm gonna throw out my podcast friends right now, because sometimes you need to start off with this so people who are just a couple minutes in can learn who some of my friends are. Check out some of my friends like Macho Man Radio, Chris Clem's Capscast, Wingcast, a Wingman podcast, Let the Hate Flow Through You, Pod Van Dam, Road Home from Wrestling, Weekly Wrestling Podcast. Check out the official graphic designer of Wrestling Cheers, Moy Boy Designs, and head on over to Thrift Store Jobber's Etsy store and check him out on Twitter and Instagram. Thrift Store Jobber has some amazing old school wrestling apparel that you need to check out, even though I wish I could get them in my size. But this show is Hanging with Heavy, a look inside the mind, inside the heart, the soul, the experience, the whatever that is Heavy Set. And I am that man. I am Heavy Set. And this is part deux of Ask Heavy Set. I'm going to make an attempt to do this a lot more. So last week was part one. This week is part deux. And, you know, eventually, you know, I'll have other episodes from time to time of hashtag Ask Heavy Set. It will be a way for me to take a minor break from the show, but still pull out shows every week. It's also a way to come up with different topics, because honestly, last week, I didn't have any topics really for the show. I don't know, just a lot of stuff going on and kind of busy in a short work week. And I don't know, nothing really came to mind of other topics to talk about. So I really, really pushed hashtag Ask Heavy Set. And now we are here where we're doing part deux of Ask Heavy Set. And I have, I believe, 14 questions left. And we'll try to get through the rest of them for this one, which I think depends on how much of a tangent I go on. But that's all there is this week. No other little segments. So that's less producing for me, less editing for me. So yay. I did get everybody who asked questions last time, and now I'm down to one question from Living Legend, one question from Old School, which is a really, really good one, 5 from Kai, 4 from Kata, and 3 from Andy Anderson. There's a lot of wrestling related questions in here, almost at least half, especially between Andy and Kata just asking me wrestling related questions, maybe because, you know, I haven't done a wrestling podcast full time since, you know, the end of March, and I haven't, I mean, I spots here and there on Wrestlecast after I left, but now that show is not even, you know, on anymore. But let's get into some of these questions. I want to start off with a non-wrestling question. If money was no object, and this is from Living Legend at Living Legend 143, if money was no object, what 3 places in the world would you visit? Hashtag Ask Heavy Set. First off, I'm going to have to go to Japan. Since getting into New Japan, I've been more intrigued with Japan, which is funny because I used to say I don't understand what everybody's big deal about it is, but now it's like I get it to a point, but I'm not, oh my god, I love everything Japan. I'm not a big anime person. So still to this day, even though I like New Japan, I'm not like anything about like anime and probably other aspects of Japan that I'm not really high on, but food, I do like the food, wrestling, obviously. obviously. Some of the just a weird cultural differences I like to experience firsthand. I've had a couple friends who went to Japan at some point, and there's a girl that I went to high school with who's actually living there for the second time. Like, she went over there for a couple years, came back for maybe a couple more years, and then just recently went back. So I think that's really... So Japan would be on my list. Obviously, if I'm going to Japan, Wrestle Kingdom, hit up whatever Wrestle Kingdom is that you're... Not even just a New Japan show. It's like, if I'm going to Japan, if money were no object, number one. I'm going to cheat, because that's what I can do, is I'm going to cover a bunch of places in one shot. Like, I want to go to the UK. It has been a, I think, potential honeymoon destination, you know, if and when we get to that part. More of a when, not an if thing. I want to go to only English-speaking countries. English-speaking, I can't even speak English right now, so English-speaking countries in Europe. So, like, obviously England in the UK, Scotland, Ireland, and even though it's not an English-speaking country, I would like to go to Italy. That's my, like, one other place I'd like to go, because I really want to eat Italian food in Italy. Always, ever since I was little, I've loved Italian food, even some just some of the basic. Like, I love spaghetti, I love lasagna, I love rigatoni. If I could get that a lot, I would take it. And I'd love to go to England and meet a lot of, you know, these people that I've met online. It was really cool whenever I was over there and I got to meet so many people, a part of the AllWrestling.com Week in Review. And obviously, I haven't got to meet anybody from the UK, from England. So to go over there and buy some Jelly Babies for myself, like, over there, that would be fantastic, no pun intended. I really wanted to go to the Doctor Who Experience, but as of this recording, they just tore the original down this week. So I know, I think I heard they're going to try to, like, I think move it closer to London or in London or something like that. London would be a fun place to go. I think it'd be cool to go to a different country in general like that, especially one that, like, I know the language, but I don't know the culture as much. And the thing that I love the most is food. Yes, I'm a fat fuck. And I think to go experience other countries' food is fun. There's a video on YouTube that I've seen that it shows you all these different types of food in England that, like, we don't get here. It's these two guys on YouTube who have, like, this little show. I've watched it from time to time. I'm not subscribed to it or anything, but, like, baked beans for breakfast. People over here think that's weird, but I'm like, I don't think it is. For some reason, it makes sense to me. I don't know if it's an army thing. Like, I wasn't part of the army, but my dad was, and I used to watch a lot of army stuff, so, or military-related stuff, so maybe it doesn't bother me, though. I want to try black pudding. I want to try haggis. I want to try all that kind of stuff. And it's crazy to think, and I think everybody can get this from no matter where they're at. You grow up in one country, for the most part. You're used to certain cultures. You're used to certain foods. And then you go outside of that bubble, and all of a sudden, there's this country that you're in, and you don't know their food. Like, you've never heard of this one dish. Like, let's say I'm going to skip ahead a little bit. My second thing would be go to Canada. I'd probably go to Calgary, and I'd probably go to the Hard Household. That's picking three places going outside of the United States. So that's pretty my own little circumstances. I want to go to Canada for a bunch of other stuff. I want to go to Niagara Falls. I want to meet Old School and Carp, which they might be coming down here, but I still want to go there, which, granted, that's Montreal. I want to go to an Alpha One wrestling show, which is ran by Ethan Page. A lot of great people up there, and it would be fun just to go to a different country, and I want to try poutine. But going back to the whole UK thing, because that's the whole thing, I'm not that far from Canada, and I never heard of poutine until a couple years ago. Poutine sounds amazing. And I think the same thing with other countries. Like, I could go to UK, I could go to England, and try a food that I've never heard of before, and I might really like it. I would like, it's Doctor Who related, and I'd have to have it in England, and there's probably some place that sells it. I want fish fingers and custard, and even though I've been told fish fingers is just what they call fish sticks, it's still something that I really want to try. And I know it's a thing made up for Doctor Who, the whole combination of fish fingers and custard, but still, it'd be fun. Love to go. I really want to see the scenery of Scotland. Ireland and Scotland have this, I'm blanking on the word, they have this belief, this, I do this a lot, it's one of my big disadvantages of talking on podcast. Yes, I know it's the only thing you can do on podcast, but I just blank on certain words. They have, like, a legend of this, no pun intended, legendary scenery and countryside of Ireland and Scotland. And I recently had a friend on Instagram, like, this last year, she went to Scotland and took all these pictures. I couldn't believe that, like, it's real. Like, I don't know if it was just, like, I thought it was going to be one spot that's going to be like that, but no, it's not necessarily not the whole country, but still, there's still those parts. There's probably people would see the same thing about certain parts of America. I know Pennsylvania has some countryside that people love. I liked at one point until I became a truck driver, and then I now hate them. I think it would be fun to experience that for myself. And obviously, with my red beard, I'd love to go to Ireland and definitely want to try Guinness at the Guinness Brewery. That went a little extra long on that one. But definitely a good question from the Living Legend, which that was his only question left. Kai asks, which at Kai J. Valentine, at Hanging With Heavy, favorite sporting venue? Oh, I didn't even read his other questions. I'll skip to that. I'll try to remember to go back to it. But his other question that he has here is, where in the UK would you love to visit? I feel like I've kind of already answered all that. London in general would be fun, and I think it would be fun to meet a lot of people from the allwrestling.com Week in Review community that I, like I said, I spent so many years being a part of their lives, them being part of my life, just, you know, voice-wise. Like you, Kai, I'd love to go to Lincoln. You might not be living there by the time I get there, but for someone who's listened to Squabblebox for a long time and always hearing about, you know, the Siren FM studios and hearing about Lincoln and hearing about things about the town, it'd be kind of fun to go through a visit. I'd love to meet Ant. I'd love to meet Wayne. I'd love to meet Kiwi. I'd love to meet Legend, not necessarily England. PK. PK's a big one. For those who don't know, because that's like I said, the one part, like learning that people listen to this show who aren't a part of the AllWrestling.com Week in Review community or weren't ever part of it, I think it's really cool. But I want to explain to you who PK Punk is. He's actually on an episode at some point on here, like earlier this year. I'm not sure what number, might be like 5 or 6. And we sit down and we talk about a lot of things. The one thing I talk about with him, this is the guy that I rank really high up in getting me into independent wrestling. When I started listening to the Week in Review, I'll get conscious of it for a couple minutes and then I lose it. But I had blinders on when it came to wrestling. I was a certain type of fan. I don't know what to describe it. Definitely a smirk. Like, I hated Cena. I don't think I really liked Orton. Big Punk fan at the time. I still liked The Miz. And this was right before, or right around the time the pipe bomb happened. Like, that WrestleMania, that's one of my favorite WrestleMania packages, was that whole thing leading up to his title defense. But had these blinders on, I started listening, and PK would always talk about independent wrestling. For example, in 2011, I went back and listened to the first episode. I don't remember if it was the first episode that I was on or the first episode I listened to. I normally have a yearly tradition. I don't know if I did it this year or this tradition where I go back and like listen to it. Sometimes I pick up different things. And in 2011, PK was talking about Shinsuke Nakamura. I didn't know many people who were talking about Shinsuke Nakamura, especially back in 2011. And then over time of listening to him, it started sinking into my head bit by bit. And I actually became interested. I started listening to Colt Cabana's podcast. The whole thing happened with Gregory Iron, where CM Punk and Colt Cabana endorsed him. It was a big moment. Finding out he lived in Cleveland. And also, Kevin Nash returned to the WWE right around SummerSlam. And before that, he was at a Cleveland show. And they were showing replays of parts of matches and everything on a local station. All of that just like helped roll me into being a independent wrestling fan. And I thank PK. He's number one credit billing, and then it goes Colt Cabana with CM Punk and Gregory Iron. And then the third is Kevin Nash wrestling at Resolution a couple weeks before SummerSlam, and then playing the reviews or playing parts of it on the local station. So I think the main thing is I want to meet friends. Another stuff is just food-wise. So if I ever get a chance, I would. I mean, before this week of recording, I wanted to go to Cardiff. I wanted to go through the Doctor Who experience. So hopefully I'll get to go through the new one. On to Kai's second question, or the first question that I started to answer, but I feel like that went right into a Living Legends question, so I'll talk about that for a brief minute. But my favorite sporting venue, haven't been to a whole lot. There's the ones I've been to, and then there's the one I really want to go. Of the ones I've been to, my favorite, I'm just going to say First Energy Stadium, which is the stadium for the Cleveland Browns. No real reason why. I think it's because football is my favorite sport. American football, gridiron football, National Football League, NFL, whatever, you know, because I know a bunch of Brits were rolling their eyes when I said football. But it's my favorite sport, so I feel really excited when I get to go to games. I mean, I haven't been to many other venues. Like, if I consider an all-around sporting venue, if I consider a wrestling venue, has to be the ECW Arena in Philly. Got to go to a show there, and I was so happy to experience a wrestling show. It was surreal with a lot of the old ECW people there too. The main event was Rhino versus Van Dam, and then Sandman came out afterwards, and they all came out to the original ECW music. That was pretty cool. My favorite venue that I've never been to that I really want to go to, because I think the look of it looks amazing. And right now there's a lot of football stadiums, NFL stadiums here in the United States that are pretty awesome looking. Like Minnesota just built one for the Vikings right before last season, and the Raiders are getting one in Las Vegas. That sounds like it's going to be pretty cool. But my favorite is the home of the Indianapolis Colts Lucas Oil Stadium. The only way I describe what the stadium looks like, it looks like just a giant factory. Like they took this old factory and turned it into a football stadium. But obviously that's not. It helps blend in with the skyline where you look at it and you go, oh, that's a stadium. It's just how it's a dome stadium built with brick. And I think the top might be a skyline. Light could be wrong, but it just looks amazing. I've seen many different venues or football stadiums. That's the one that I'm just like, God. The St. Louis Cardinals have a pretty nice stadium too. It took me a couple times to really admire how great it looks. Other than that, like, I'm trying to go by like actual look of what else, the stuff I've seen and go, oh, that looks real. Not just ones I've seen like pictures of. Like, I'd like to go to Wrigley Field. I'd like to go to Fenway. I wish they still had the original Yankee Stadium, because that'd be fun too. But those are some of my favorite sporting venues. Side runner-up for wrestling venue was when I went down to WrestleMania. There was this venue that all the WWN shows ran out of, and Progress. I think it was them mostly, but Progress ran out of this building, and that show with that building was amazing. The next show, I went to the next show right after that, which was Evolve, which was okay. And the venue was what helped make it, but Progress there at that venue went together like milk and cookies. That's the only way I could really describe it. All right. Another one that went in, what Kyle was saying, what my answer with Living Legend that goes with Kai's question, what country do you feel has the best cuisine? There's a part of me just wants to say America, but I feel like a lot of our cuisine is a hodgepodge of other countries. So I think I actually gave away my favorite. I love aspects of the UK and England. I love aspects of Japan. Give me Italy. And I want Italian from Italy. Some spaghetti, some lasagna, maybe even a pizza. Give me an Italian dish I've never heard of. Just something like that. Oh, so sounds so good right now. I have a little bit of heart, so it doesn't sound that good. You know, just before the recording and everything, before I got home, I bought some heartburn. So I'll be almost out of it by the time this airs. Fun fact. Yeah, I have to go Italy, mainly because I love a lot of the dishes. If I were to pick my favorite, like, I want to say spaghetti because I've had it since I was little, but it's a toss-up between that and, actually, you know what? Chicken Parmesan. I love chicken Parmesan, especially get a chicken Parmesan sandwich. Ah, it's amazing. So good. Let's move on to this question from Mitchell at WIRCata. What low-level Marvel character would you like to see get a movie next? Hashtag ask heavy set. The only thing is, I'm not a big comic book reader, so I'm trying to think of a character that would be really cool to get a move. I'm trying to think, and actually, you know what? I'll cheat, because I can do this type of thing. I'm going to look up characters that were in Lego Marvel and figure out which ones that I enjoyed playing as to who could get a movie. Like, a lot's been covered so far when it comes to Marvel, and like whatever ones are also covered in, you know, other movies, and now some of the Netflix shows too. I enjoyed playing as Rescue, which I believe is like the Iron Man version of Pepper Potts. Like, with her, Spider-Gwen, Spider-Woman, you might be able to see some really good movies with them, especially right now if we're going in the whole, you know, feminist movement or whatever, feminism movement or girl rights, fine, which I'm fine, whatever. But I'm saying that I think it does fit in with that whole aspect of things. I like to see Red Hulk in a movie, maybe Havoc too. I like to see a movie where we get a lot more of the other parts of Spider-Man, because he has all these different costumes, and I feel, and only in the movies we've only seen two, not counting the new one. They're working on some of these other suits, so that's something I'd really like to see. Because like I said, one of the things that sucks about my knowledge is I'm a guy who looks up stuff to kind of learn about it. Like, I don't really read comic books. Never been my thing. I've had the Infinity Gauntlet for a year, and I still haven't sat down to read that. Maybe eventually. It doesn't help that I'm sitting down recording podcasts every night too. That's why I need like a little bit of time off. I've had Gears of War 4 sitting in my Xbox One for a couple weeks, and I've yet to have time to come home and play it. At least in a couple weeks. Some of these people just like to see them in better movies. or they've been now adapted to the Netflix shows, which I don't really watch. Yeah, that's best that I can do, looking at some of the Lego Marvel characters. Sorry, I couldn't be better on that cat, but it's just how I am with comic books and everything. I'd love to see a Thanos movie, too. We're probably getting that. Can't wait for Infinity War. As of this recording, which is not going to be the same as this episode, and I probably could do a little bit of math. As of this recording, Infinity War is 231 days away. So I believe that would make it 221 days away from when this gets released. I think I pretty much have all wrestling-related questions, except for two. One I'm saving for the end, because I think it's a really good question, and I can go the last thing I want to cover. And my girlfriend and I, when we talked about it, it got into this whole other discussion, and it's not going to be a popular opinion between people, but it's something that I have, and it's a great question. And people are going to be surprised by my answer. It'll be another great example of the questions I want people to ask. Another one from Kai. He says, at Hangin' With Heavy, if you could do a podcast with anyone, dead or alive, what would it be, and what would the topic be? Or who would it be, and what would the topic be? It depends on how I want to do this. And the fact that I only have one person to talk. I'll go through my, figure whether I should do who I think my number one should be, but have other ones that, like, well, trust me, these are running through my mind at the same time, but this is gonna be my number one. Okay, let's go over my number one. I won't lead up to it because everything's off the top of my head, and I don't know exactly how many that I have or like potential. But mulling it around in my head, there's one name that I'd probably pick. And I kind of have to go dead because there's no chance to get a podcast with them right now. But if they're not dead yet, because we're all going to die one day, then there's still a chance to get a podcast with them, even if it's hardcore out of the realm of possibility, where it's just a fraction, just a fraction of a fraction of a fraction chance. I have to go Chris Farley. He was a guy that I admired growing up, and it was sad watching him die. And then getting older and learning more about who Chris Farley was, you know, it hurts. I look up to him almost as much as he looked up to John Belushi, and they both died young. Drugs played a real big factor. I mentioned on this show, like, weed was pretty much it for me, and, you know, drinking. Other drugs never were a thing, and he was a man that seemed to have such a big heart and was a complete clown, and I loved for that. I loved him before he died. Tommy Boy, top five favorite movie of all time, loved it before he died, though I watched the VHS to shit after he died, but that's because I got it, like, a couple years late. Other people running through my head, like, wrestling-wise, Andy Kaufman or Owen Hart, and I think it's because they were both really good at being bad guys, and I think they were both funny. They had their own ways to being funny. Andy Kaufman was more out and about because he was a comedian, and Owen Hart was a guy who pulled ribs on people. He sounded like a fun dude. And I grew up hating Owen just passionately, but it sounds like he was a really good guy. And it was with his death that when I realized that, you know, these wrestlers are people too, and I don't, as much as I don't like them, I don't want them to die. That's two wrestling ones. I don't know if I went for topics. For Chris Farley, a topic, I think I would talk to him about his struggle with drug addiction. For Owen Hart, I would talk about him ribbing people. Andy Kaufman, I would talk to him about his feud with Jerry Lawler. If I'm going on the anyone aspect of it, I would want to talk to my grandfather on my dad's side, because he died 14 months before I was, and I didn't get to know him. I knew my grandmother, and my grandmother died when I was a teenager. I'm trying to remember the age I was. She died in 2003. She was 93 years old, and I was 7. I knew my grandmother for 17 years and never got to meet my grandfather, so I would like to know more about my grandfather that I never met, and I always heard that he would love, I think I would have loved him too, but those sad things I never got. If I went for people who are alive, just to throw them out there, Vince McMahon, and just learn more about him and what he's actually like. Shaq, talk about his music career, why he decided to do that shit. Things I know I'm missing. Have a great interview maybe with, not on the end of picking topics, but, you know, a guy like Johnny Cash and Elvis Presley, guys I grew up listening to, even though it was way past their prime and their era. Those are some of the best answers I can give on that one. All right, all the rest of these are wrestling related. I'm probably going to shoot through them fairly. I don't know if there's like, I feel like some of these, I don't know if I can go on long tangents on, so I'll start at the top. Last question from Kai. He says, at Hangin' With Heavy, if you could design a shirt for any wrestler right now, who would it be and what would you put on it? Thing is, I like wearing shirts. I don't necessarily like designing them. I don't know if I have a mind for that anymore, but design a shirt for any... I would like to design, even though it's not much of a design, I would like to see a Kevin Owens Fight Owens Fight shirt in the exact same style of Fight Steen Fight or Kill Steen Kill. Other than that, I honestly can't think of any more, just because I can't think of designs. I think that's where I really fall short on. You know, a guy like Johnny Gargano, I want it to be something Cleveland related for maybe. It's not really much of a design, but since the Bullet Club always gets compared to NWO, they should create a Bullet Club Wolfpack shirt, but not say it's a Wolfpack shirt, just create a Bullet Club shirt that's freaking red. Something tells me that, like, that's like perfect for happening. Maybe I'll tweet Nick and Matt Jackson that shirt. One from @AA_WIR, aka Andy Anderson, #AskHeavySet. What is your favorite wrestling and non-wrestling pop? The only thing that sucks is I'm in the middle of moving at some point, and I literally bring boxes up every so once in a while and just start packing. I packed away two weekends ago, I believe it was, a small section of my wrestling shirts, because I'm keeping out my wrestling shirts till like almost the day I move, or the weekend I move. But I moved, or I packed, my music shirts, my Ninja Turtles related shirts, and Ghostbusters shirt. I still have a shit ton. Pop-wise, right now I have none of my Ghostbusters. So one of my favorite wrestling pops is, maybe it's my favorite, is the fact that I own a Chase version of the Finn Balor pop. I don't own the FYE one yet, and I don't own the regular looking Finn Balor one, but I did buy the Chase one. Pretty. My favorite non-related wrestling pop might be my 11th Doctor in a spacesuit, because I bought that at Wizard World Comic Con in Cleveland when I went. Also, most of my Ghostbusters, because a lot of them have sentimental meaning for one reason or another. I love Stay Puffs, so all those mean something to me. After my girlfriend bought me one for Valentine's Day last year, this past one, I went out and bought a couple more than I needed, and now I'm down to missing one, and right now there's two of them on eBay at the same time, and that's rare, but they want $300 for it, and I want to buy it so bad, just so I can finish my set. I'd be so happy, but I can't afford $200. I mean, $300. $200 I'd think about. So that would have to be my favorite non-related pops between those two. Yeah, that's pretty much it. There's a bunch coming out of the New York City Comic Con that I want. Or the New York Comic Con. This is a fairly good one from Andy. #AskHeavySet. What is your favorite wrestling tee you own and you do not own? My favorite wrestling tee I own right now. I mean, I love the Villain Club stuff, but it's no secret. Two of my favorites of all time are my John Laurinaitis one and my Drew McIntyre shirt from before he got released. It means a lot to me because I've rarely seen anybody else with them, so I feel more of an individual when I wear them. But right now, I love my Bullet Club stuff. And one that I don't own, I'm going to say the one that I don't own that's my favorite, and it's one that I've wanted for a while, and I've just really, I pushed off for over a year on buying it, and it is the WCW style Four Horsemen shirt that they wore during the Mongo era. I love that shirt. And it's one of the few WCW shirts I really like, and that eventually I'll buy it. A nice runner-up is there's a Team Johnny shirt that they made, and there actually is some, they have to be knockoffs. No way they're from WrestleMania weekend, because they sold them WrestleMania weekend, but they never sold them in the shop, so I don't know what they did with us. I figure they just sold. Or there was a Team Teddy shirt and a Team Johnny shirt. Love to own either of those. But I think because I haven't went forth and bought the Four Horsemen one for the longest, going back to when I was younger, it takes the edge. I know that I'm watching both of those on eBay. I feel like these two are kind of the same question, so I'm going to answer them back to back. One from Kata and the other one from Andy Anderson. Kata says, will people ever truly embrace Roman Reigns? #AskHeavySet. And AA says, #AskHeavySet. After Cena leaves, who will be the next top billed guy? First off, I think it has to be Roman. I don't know who. See, that's the thing. Cena's such a big guy. Who's going to be the guy to take his place? And even when Cena took the place of The Rock, there was still time in between. But Reigns is here, and Reigns is almost working as the same thing of The Rock and Stone Cold. But Stone Cold and Rock came into WWE roughly the same time, and there was obviously a big gap between Roman Reigns and John Cena. If I had my choice who the next guy would be after seeing a big guy, I mean, I'm partial to Johnny Gargano. I think Johnny Gargano could do the same thing that Cena does, but like, obviously build wise and size wise, that's never gonna happen. There's a part of me though that thinks a guy like Kenny Omega can come into WWE and just steal the show. And I think it's really great, the era that we're living in right now, when we're seeing people leave WWE, make a bunch of money and people come in the WWE who have made a bunch of money, but we never thought would come in to WWE. Or some people, we never even think we'd come back to WWE, but they did. And I feel like that's going to continue to happen. We're going to get people to leave we don't expect, maybe Dolph, and then we're going to see people we never thought were going to be in WWE come in WWE. Like, I think Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks are destined to be in WWE. I just don't know. It might be another year or two. I forget on how. I think the Bucks are signed through 2018. So, you know, it could be 2019, could be 2020. And there's a bunch of other guys in Japan who could make some sort of impact, no pun intended, into WWE. And will the people truly embrace Roman Reigns? I think he's got to turn heel full-fledged. That's the only thing that I think could really save Roman Reigns on the aspect of the fans. I know you're just going to flip the crowd that's cheering him, booing him. I get that. But if you can find a way for the people who are booing him now to like him and become big fans of his, you switch him back to face, the people who are cheering him now will forgive him when he comes back. And the hope is to maintain those fans who boo him now, who will later hopefully cheer him, to keep cheering him after he turns back. Hard to tell with that one, but that's the one thing that I think it would have. When people bitch about him, I think it's stupid. Because I find it funny. So many people will say how much they hate Roman Reigns, but when you listen to some of the wrestlers, they always talk about how great he is. And I think it's that mentality of like, well, Vince wants to push him, so we don't like him. And for some reason, we think all the wrestlers agree with us, and they don't. There's some that want him to be in that position, some that think it's good to have him in that position, but you know, it is what it is. Got two more from Kata, and one more. The final question will be from Mr. Old School. Kata says, if you could add a female wrestler to the Bullet Club, who would you pick and why? Hashtag ask heavy set. So obviously they have to be on the independent scene. Who would be a good... It's hard to say because the only person they've really had that's a female in the Bullet Club is Gallows, I believe, ex-wife. I don't know if you're expecting me to say Veda, but no, she doesn't fit that. I think Sienna, AK-47, Allison K, AK-47. I think she'd be good. The name kind of fits too. No, it really was, no pun intended. If she ever came back to wrestling full-time, Annie Social, I think would be good. And let's pick a third one. Just trying to think of who could fit well with the Bull Club. And also, well, you said add a female wrestler, because I was like, what about Brandy? And she wrestles, but I mean, you know, part of me wants to say Mandy Leon from Ring of Honor, just because when I seen her at a show recently, whenever, you know, Cody Rhodes was there and Flip Gordon was there, I got the picture of Flip Gordon. She's the one who took the picture. I don't know. I think she could be, like, I'm picturing people that would be really good either in being the Elite, or would be really good while I see them walking out at New Japan. Those are three on the top of my list. And then just because she's an up-and-coming name, I think Shotzi Blackheart, maybe? That's only because she doesn't have that much experience character-wise. So I'm like, oh, they could, like, find a way to fit her. At WR Kata, Mitchell, he says, his last question, could we see Kevin Owens' main event WrestleMania time? Actually, I'm like, quick, at the last second as I was reading some of the last words, do want to double-check that I did get that right of how he said that? Yes, could we see Kevin Owens' main event WrestleMania one day? Hashtag ask heavy set. I mean, the easy answer is yeah, someday. I don't know when, but definitely someday. He's a guy that I don't see ever leaving WWE. And the way that they're booking him, I don't see them ever getting rid of him. So you just figure over time, he's going to almost have to win the title. Actually, I mean, that goes into what I was going to say. He has to main event WrestleMania. So I would figure it'd be him winning the title as a face. That's the thing. We've yet to see Kevin Owens as a face. He's a great heel. There's a part of me that thinks we're a couple years away. Like, they're going to pull the trigger and he'll be a tremendous baby. I mean, since signing with WWE, he is yet to be a face, and they're going to drag it out as long as possible. And I think he's going to be against it, but he can be the modern day Stone Cold Steve Austin. And you know what? They're trying to build that right now, but they're doing it as him as a bad guy first. I kind of like that. So my somewhat bold prediction is Kevin Owens will main event WrestleMania, and he'll do it as the champion or fighting for the championship as a good guy. All right, the last question of this show, of the part two, is from at STFU Old School. That'd be Mr. Old School. At Hanging With Heavy, hashtag Ask Heavy Set. When did you find out that Santa Claus wasn't real? And I replied on Twitter, this is going to be a crazy answer to some. Okay, I was roughly in about kindergarten or first grade. That is shocking to some people. And I proposed this to my girlfriend. She, because she knows my my history. She can't believe that I found out so young. She thinks part of my childhood was taken away. And it leads into a huge conversation of when is it acceptable to find out there's no Santa? And I figured it's somewhere in elementary school. It's acceptable to go in knowing who Santa is or believing in Santa. But then you walk out the other side. When you're done, you should be right around the age where you know or you need to be told. I was told, like I said, at a young age, and I think I was in somewhat denial because I have memories where I kind of like acted he was real, but I knew he wasn't. The last time I remember leaving something out for Santa was in kindergarten, and I had to find out in first grade. Worst case scenario, second. And I don't know. I don't think that ruined my childhood, and she thought like it took away some of my imagination or something, that, you know, Santa's coming and all this stuff. No, I still had a pretty good imagination. I just used it on other stuff. Now I'm sitting here talking to myself. I think I've done good for not knowing or not believing as long as some. And it's a weird thing that, you know, I have conversations with my girlfriend about them. She thinks that they could go up into like sixth grade without knowing. I'm like, I don't know. I think that's too. Like, I don't know what the proper age is, but I feel like if you're going into middle school, junior high school, not knowing the truth, I don't know. This leads to a different conversation too. And I think which I would need her on here, which eventually we will get her on here. I think it's going to be a great conversation to have with her. And I'll just explain my brief bit on it. And it's weird because I was an only child, but I believe that, or what I want to do, I should say, it's not a belief thing. What I want to do when I have kids is tell them only a small number of presents were from Santa. I originally said one, but you know, you can go up to like three or four and say, okay, these are from Santa, but these are from mom and dad. Technically, I think the original thing was you only give them a couple of presents because it's about kids getting, you know, overly spoiled. But a way to compromise is say, okay, like let's say five presents are from Santa and rest of these are from mom and dad. Obviously you go to, you know, you go see family and whatnot. Like those could be from that family member too, but have like a certain select ones from Santa. And when we have this conversation about this, my girlfriend and I, she tells me she has all these different thoughts. Well, I'm not going to do that because what if they go to school and their friend got a bunch of presents from Santa? What are you going to tell them? I'm like, well, that's when you tell them that those parents are lying and we're telling the truth. You can't do that. I'm like, you're already lying to the kids saying there's a Santa. What harm is it to add to the lie? They'll never know. They're young. They already believe Santa's real. But when they get older and they realize everything behind that, they're like, yeah, like, let's face it, Santa's dumb. You're like, I believed in that. I believe that he went around the world and delivered presents to everybody. You don't realize when you're young how big the world is. And he does it. Okay, I don't know. The one thing is, like, he does it at night. Okay, technically a night lasts like a day. That's the thing. When you're young, you think, like, okay, he's delivering all these presents at night. So he has until, like, he starts maybe around 8, and he ends at 5 somewhere. Then you learn about time zones, and you go, wait a minute, well, okay, he has between 8 and 5. Let's just say 9 and 3, that's 6 hours. But there's different time zones, so technically Santa's up for a day. He doesn't need milk and cookies, he needs Red Bull. He's cocaine. Anyway, sidetrack. I don't want my kids to be spoiled, so I want to give them less presents. At least less presents from Santa. And then whenever you tell them, they say whenever. But I found out at a real young age, spent a couple Christmases, you know, believing. But there was a cutoff. And like I said, I'm going to say right around first grade. And I came out perfectly fine. That's the only other way I could wrap that up. I'm trying to think what was other aspects of the same thing. Yeah, I found out at a young age. Fine. And I'm curious. And something I'm going to post on Facebook eventually. How old were you when you found out there was no Santa? Or what's the appropriate age to find out there's no Santa, to be told there's no Santa? Where's the realistic age to you? Let me know at Hangin' With Heavy on Twitter, at HeavySet330 on Twitter. That will do it for this part deux of hashtag AskHeavySet. I'm going to go over the plugs just one more time. I'm going to wrap this sumbitch up. I'm probably going to go to bed. You know, you are listening to the Trending Topics Network, TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Check out all the great shows that we have on this network. All Beer Inside, European Uppercut, The Tuts Experience, Luchat, CFL Easy Picks, What's on Fight, Eurovision Showcase, Legends on, Siren FM, TTN at the Movies, Shut the Fuck Up, and my other podcast, Wrestling Cheers. I already told you all this stuff to find find that, just hook me up with a review on iTunes, please. Check out my friends Macho Man Radio, Chris Clem's Cavscast, Wingcast, a Wingman podcast, Let the Hate Flow Through You with Jeremy Shear, Pod Van Dam, The Road Home from Wrestling, Weekly Wrestling Podcast, Moy Boy Designs, the official graphic designer of Wrestling Cheers, and Thrift Store Jobber. Check them out on Etsy, Instagram, and Twitter. That will do it for us on Hanging with Heavy. And next week, we'll be back to a regular episode. I will tell you 2 weekends worth of what I did. And right now, actually, I'll throw out, like, the only thing I know I'm doing on the 23rd, which when this gets released, it'll be what I did that weekend before. But the only thing I know right now is I'm going to a cookout on the 23rd. That's it. So, yeah. Thank you for listening to Hanging with Heavy. And let's hang out back for a normal episode. Let's hang out next week. Later.
Heavy is the hand that wears the crown.